From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Call it a strategic loss for the search engine that most of us know is starting with Google and ending with .com. If you know of the right to be forgotten, the idea pushed forward by a Spanish debtor who had paid up but still looked bad on the internet, you know that Google has been resisting a push by European regulators to allow citizens to request the company remove or demote links to outdated and perhaps incorrect material. Part of that resistance from the company has been that it only altered its link history on European sites. Now it's doing the same beyond the digital borders of the EU. Russell Padmore is with our partners at the BBC. Russell, break down the latest for us.
Now, Google is going to have to give in and allow the right to be forgotten, not just in country-specific domains such as google.co.uk or the French version .fr. Effectively, it's going to apply anywhere. So if you're a European Union citizen and there's something online about you that you either don't like or think is incorrect, you have the right to be forgotten. You can get on to the search engines like Google and have them effectively delete it. Or really what they're actually doing is closing off any links to that information.
Now, Google has been resisting this for a while, right? What was the final straw in making this decision for the company?
Well, Google's got no choice. Any company that operates within the European Union has to follow the rules. Now, the European Court of Justice did actually say there's no ultimate right to have everything removed, no so-called super right, and it does talk about how everything has to be done on a case-by-case assessment, and that's the problem for Google. It has to carry out these assessments each time as it goes.
How is this going to affect other search engines or social networks operating in the EU?
They are looking at what Google's actually doing, of course. Google is the company that is getting most, the majority of the requests for the right to be forgotten. So it's much more difficult for Google to deal with. But other online search engines, they also have to abide by the rules. But I think they're not being swamped as much as Google is, Ben.
Russell Padmore, correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Russell, thank you very much.
Ben, thanks.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics has new data out this week, and the number of job openings climbed to the second highest number it's ever been at. One set of jobs that stays open the longest, usually, despite being a hot commodity, tech industry jobs. The job search site Indeed.com took a closer look recently and found that IT specialists and software engineer positions often stay open longer than 60 days. Here's Paul Darcy, SVP of Marketing at Indeed.
There are different types of positions. I mean, software engineering ones tend to be very technical, very highly paid roles that are hard to fill. And the tech support ones are tough to fill because they require technical skills, but they're lower paid for technical positions and can stay open for incredible lengths of time.
Your average IT guy or gal makes around $46,000 a year. Engineers make six figures. How do you hire more who are in that six-figure zone? Darcy says, follow the talent.
In Austin right now, 17 out of the 25 companies that are hiring the most software engineers are actually not Austin companies. They are companies coming from all over the world because this is one of the cities that technical talent really wants to go to.
Other cities where tech talent wants to go, San Jose, Seattle, and yes, you guessed it, San Francisco. We've got a list of the tech jobs that stay open long and average salaries at marketplacetech.org. It is time for Silicon Tally. My guest this week is here to freak me out, Amy Webb. She's a futurist, writer, and the founder of the digital strategy group Web Media. Amy, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I'm ready.
All right. Eight tweets.
Oh, yeah. Is that Mark Andreessen? I guess there was,
oh,
that was only three
well
tweets,
played.
Right?
Eight tweets is the number of apologetic tweets Mark Andreessen, a Facebook board member, as you know, posted after an offensive tweet he made earlier this week, which made it seem like he supported British colonialism in India. This was, of course, in response to India rejecting Facebook's free but limited internet service, Free Basics.
Piggybacking on that, the number is one.
One tweet that started it all? I don't know. I got nothing.
There was one smiley face emoji that he sort of tacked along that was like, hey, no harm, no foul, right?
Oh,
as part of the
yes.
apology that made everything worse.
I don't think you want to put any emoji in.
Yeah, put emotion, but maybe not the emoji.
All right, what do you got for me?
0.887 seconds.
I don't know. The time that the new Tesla car takes to go from 0 to 10 miles an hour?
That is the number of seconds that a computer was able to solve a Rubik's Cube.
Wow.
A computer algorithm scrambled a Rubik's Cube, and then this machine solved it in 20 moves.
That doesn't freak me out as long as the robot, tiny creepy robot hands, can't actually solve a physical Rubik's Cube in that amount of time.
Oh, no, it was a physical cube.
It was physical?
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. There's this amazing video of it online.
Oh, well, let's just all lie down there.
I know, right? But yeah, this Rubik's Cube is sort of in suspended animation inside of this plastic sphere. And tiny robots are sort of moving it around. And,
And
the motion is so fast that it's blurry.
This is terrifying. All right, let's move on. I can't think too deeply about that. 1.3 billion light years.
That one could be so many things. I don't know.
So this was how far away the collision of two black holes occurred. We used some pretty complicated technology to detect a gravitational wave or ripple in space-time from these black holes colliding. And this is a huge deal, of course, because it confirms predictions from Einstein's theory of general relativity. So Einstein, he was right.
Yeah, good on Einstein.
Amy Webb, she is a futurist, a writer, and the founder of Webb Media Group. Amy, thank you very much for playing Silicon Valley with me.
Thank you.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.